Everyone gets a sheet because this is a bit like kind of end of term revision as we think of what have we learnt looking through these two letters to the church in Thessalonica. And we won't be able to cover all the grounds because these letters were so rich in good things to understand, but there's a summary on the sheets that are coming round. But I want you to be thinking, what have you learnt? It might be just one key thing or something that God has laid on your heart through this term. Maybe with the different questions that we've been putting on the new sheets. Remember, they appear on the new sheet on the web. Introduce them into the services, the up, in and out. How has God been prodding you? We need one more. Did you run out? Right, okay. We'll wait for Karen. Karen, there's just a few more over here, please. So what have you learnt? Because remember, we actually started with the children in the book of Acts. Who can remember which chapter we turned to look at the church in Thessalonica starting? I've run out. Oh, there we go. No. Who can remember which chapter we started in Acts? 17. Well done. Gold star, right? 17. And it involved a guy who was one of the first people to believe in Christ in Thessalonica. Began with J, but it's not Jesus. Not James. Jason, right? Because remember, with the children, I got the children around, and we told the story, and every time I said the name Jason, the children had to respond. Who can remember what the children had to say? Where's Jason? That's right, because the mob came looking for him. The mob didn't like this Christian message, didn't like the gospel. And so they came to his house. So where's Jason? Where's Paul? Where's these others preaching the good news? And so right from the beginning, there was adversity, there was persecution. And Paul was chased out of town, kind of. But the church prevailed. These new Christians, like Jason and his friends, were able themselves to not only follow Paul's example, but to become an example for the whole region around. Because the time Paul spent with them, with his friends, they had a radical encounter with Jesus Christ, and their discipleship started. Remember that? That's where we started, with discipleship. But here's five golden nuggets. Ollie, we need to go to the pop system. There we go. As the first one is, and I've rearranged them from the order that we heard them in the series. The first one is that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God wants you to be involved in his wonderful plans for the world. He has a purpose for you. And the clever thing is that God will match the purpose for you to your personality. You might need to grow into it. It might be a stretch for you at first, but he will match what he wants you to do to who you are, your personality. And we saw that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It came to this climax where Paul said, look, you were appointed. You were appointed, put in position, not to be on the receiving end of all God's anger at bad stuff in the world. But you were appointed to be saved by God's goodness. And to be part of that for the rest of the world. And so remember, he said, wake up. Get with it. Get with the program. Be awake. Be sober. Be ready. And echoed all those stories that Jesus told towards the end about being ready, being the faithful servant, about serving to the end. And so we had a question. Recognize the calling on your life. Recognize what God would have you do through your life. But we appreciate our calling when we start to understand our identity. And our identity is found
in Jesus Christ.
That's when we discover who we really are. When we find this relationship with Jesus Christ, and in Him, we work out who we are supposed to be, who God always wanted us to be. So the second golden nugget is find those foundations in Jesus Christ, and then learn to stay true to those foundations. And that process is what we call discipleship. A lifelong process. Radical encounter with Jesus Christ, meeting Him, discovering who you are, and then that lays foundations in your life about what you should be doing, and then learn to stay true to those foundations, grow on those foundations. And so we talk about discipleship habits, so put them again on the front of a news sheet. This Christmas, find some off space. Some time to be with Jesus. When all the Christmas preparations that can, they're either all done, if that ever happens, or they can at least be laid aside for a moment so you can spend time with Jesus. Find the discipline of off this Christmas. And we talked about sharing the walk, discipleship done together, and we gave out these little cards. There's still a few left in the baskets if you didn't find one. If you have not yet buddied up with someone to say, let's just meet every now and again for a coffee and chat and pray, then this Christmas, make it your resolution to find someone and go and have one of those spicy cinnamon lattes or whatever with someone and chat about your discipleship. Share the walk. And go into 2016 with that habit of checking in with someone from time to time about how you are going, how you are staying true to those foundations with Jesus. And the third habit is to seek to be ever closer. Well, not yet, Ollie. You were going. The third of a habit within this slide is to stay close to Jesus and find that closeness to Jesus ever, ever closer to Him. And that all means spending time with Him. That all means coming expectantly to our worship times, like on a Sunday, wanting to meet with Him. And as we do that, that will start to change us for the better, for the good. And that's that lifelong process that is on the next slide, that we are all work in progress. And we looked at a long Bible word that is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Can anyone remember what the word is? It is on your sheet, so everyone should be able to shout it out. It begins with S. Sanctification. Work in progress. God's working in our lives, changing us for the better. That happens as we look closer to Jesus. We are all work in progress. And as David said last week, let's not just settle for not doing the bad, but let's raise the standard and set the temperature around us, set the tone of conversation around us. Well, we've talked about process, we've talked about discipleship, and we've talked about not just doing that as an individual. We've talked about doing that in community. And so our fourth golden nugget was that week when we reminded ourselves that, we can go to the next slide please, Ollie, then reminded ourselves that we need the up, our relationship with God, we need the in, what God is doing among us corporately, and we need the out, reaching out to a hurting world, the up, the in and out. We need all three balanced working together to always be paying attention to those three axes, if you like. And we saw in the letters how they are connected. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, love, and Paul wanted more and more love in these disciples, love for each other and everyone else. connected. The in and the out components, they're connected together. And we only love because he first loved us. And that's the up component. So that's connected in as well. We need all three. And so we talked about modeling community and we talked about mission communities. Learning to get this balance so that we can be part of God's plans to reach the hurting world. There's an American author who sums it up for me very, very succinctly. He says, the Christian faith is intensely personal because it's our relationship with God through Jesus. The Christian faith is intensely personal, but never private. Intensely personal, but never private. That sums it up. Our faith, yes, we relate to God, us and God, intensely personal, but that can never remain private. That can never just be in our own little faith bubble. It always needs to expand out and interact with others. And that public nature of our faith takes us on to our fifth nugget this morning, which is on the next slide. And that is our unity is from being in Christ. Our unity, we've been talking about how we are as a church in this term. We've had to deal with things like constitutions and technical documents like that. And so it's been handy to remind ourselves what actually makes us as church. Is it a constitution document? Is it a thing in law? Is it having this building? No, it's our common purpose in Jesus Christ. It's our faith in Jesus Christ and that desire to walk together as his disciples. That's what makes church. The church is the called people of God. And us agreeing together to work together for his purposes and plans for this city makes us church. And so, as Paul talked about, the Thessalonian church being an example that spread out and ringing out was the phrase that he used, to Achaia and Macedonia, all places around that region. It's not hard for us to put two and two together and see our purpose to reach the city of Ely and beyond. To be reaching people in our city, to be desiring kingdom life, to be breaking out in all parts of our city, in different people's lives. That's our purpose together, understanding our calling. And that should run deep. That should run deeper than a shed load of other factors. So that rather than doing what society would program us to do, which is to come and consume church, to society would tell us, go, if you need it, go and find your religious fix at some church that takes your liking, that offers you the things that you feel you need and want to receive. And you can go and consume that, rather than doing that, because that is not the gospel. Rather than doing that, getting in tune with the real good news of Jesus Christ, which is our faith and relationship in him. Being called together in his purposes. And saying, look, we're gonna do this. Even when we find it hard. Even when disagreements come, which they inevitably will because we're human, or there's tough times, or we're not quite sure. We are gonna still do this because we fundamentally believe that in Jesus Christ we are to walk together and witness to this city. Together. Quite a different message from the consumer society that we live in. A modeling community that runs deep and perseveres and sticks through thick and thin when all kinds of things go wrong and blow up in our faces, as they do, we still carry on because our goal is Jesus Christ. And we talked about adversity, and we looked at those readings anticipating Jesus' return and welcoming him. And Paul's call for us to stand firm. And looking forward, we can say that the chances are there will be difficult times. There will be problems. We've had plenty of problems through this year. 2016 is not guaranteed to be any better. But our call is to fix our eyes on him and stand firm and go towards him. And gain ground if we can. Remember those illustrations with Rachel and the children, one child in the hoop and throwing things at him, and the American football illustration. That is what we are called to do. And that is why our walk with Jesus, our discipleship, is so, so important. And understanding how that process works and how people can have or can disciple us, and then we go on to disciple others, is crucial for God's work in this city. And that's why next term, our new series starting January the 3rd, if we go to the next slide, is Jesus the Discipler. Looking at how Jesus did it. How did he do it with those people around him? And what we can learn from that. The backbone will be in Mark's Gospel, but we'll be looking at different Gospel readings to help us do that. Jesus the Discipler, gathering around him. We are called to persevere, and there is an urgency about it. There's an urgency in these lessons. Discipleship is absolutely critical. And learning to do that and do that well is important, hence the series next year. Looking to Jesus and seeing how he forms community. So, now it's your turn. The question is, through this term, through all that stuff, through all those different golden nuggets that I've pulled out from the last 10, 12 weeks of messages, what have you learnt? What has God laid on your heart? We've got some time and space now. You might want to just sit and pray and think about that. You might want to talk to a neighbour or someone near you, or you might see that a friend is over the other side of the church and you want to go and talk to them. There's about 12 minutes where there'll be music over the system. And think, what have you learned? What has God been saying to you through this series? And you can write on a post-it note, there's some spare ones here, and just stick them on our chart here. Remember, you've only got a small post-it note, so we're not looking for 2,000-word essays. Just a thought or a concept or something. What has been going on? If this is your Sunday to just sit quietly and pray, then that's absolutely fine. So if someone comes to talk to you and you say, well, no, actually, I'm just praying today, that's absolutely fine. You can do that. But you may want to talk and pray. I'll be at the back if you want to come and pray there, or grab someone else and pray. That's fine too. So play the music.